Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's edition of Talk of the Rock. Wow, my headphones are really loud. There we go. That sounds a little better. We are talking with members of the Consolidation Committee this week. I have Terry Haynes in the studio with me and Justin Thran on the line. And we will introduce them in just a second. Just a little bit of context. The Consolidation Committee was formed last year in response to, it was a ballot measure in 2016. That asked the borough to pursue looking into consolidation or dissolution of the city government and consolidating the borough and city government. And I think they hired or they tried to get a consultant, the borough did back in 2018. That didn't quite work out. And so they decided to put together a committee chaired by Assemblyperson Julie Kavanaugh. And they've been meeting for almost a year now, it seems like. I know the look that Terry just gave me. So, and full disclosure, I am on the, I'm Jared Griffin. I'm on the committee too. And so the committee has been on hiatus the past couple of months because of COVID-19. And we are set to start our meetings back up in about a week. So, so my guests, Terry and Justin, why don't you introduce yourselves? We'll start with Terry here in the studio.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jared, and thanks for having us. And I really think this is a great subject to get out there for the citizens to hear about. I'm Terry Haynes. I'm currently serving on the Kodiak City Council, and I am the City Council's representative to the Consolidation Committee.
All right, and Justin, on the line from San Diego.
San Diego. Oh, really? Thank you, Jared, for having us. Been here in Kodiak for about 4 years now. And, you know, just trying to see if we can make things work better and more fluid for the island and people that live here.
So can you tell me just really quickly, why you joined and if your original position has like changed at all after working on this this committee for several months? Justin, what about you?
I had the idea of can we make it better, but I was either way, you know, if it wasn't going to work, so be it. But we don't know yet until we really dig through everything to see if everything is going to work. I know there's people that come here that don't know there's two assemblies and they, you know, kind of get mixed up on the taxes and whatnot. Like someone thought the city fire department was, you know, part of the borough, but it's not, you know, so it's kind of confusing for some people. So the hope too is to make it easier for people when they come here, you know, they only have to go to one place to, you know, pay their bills or whatnot for, you know, taxes and whatnot instead of jumping around. But I am open to, you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's what the committee's for, is to find out, you know, can we make this work?
I can remember moving here like 14 years ago and being confused about there being two governments when I first moved here. So yeah, Terry, what about you? What was your what set of lenses were you wearing when you first came into the committee, and has it changed at all for you?
Well, I came in as a skeptic, admittedly. As much as I had learned through the borough's previous efforts, I didn't understand what exactly it was that was the goal, and I still don't, frankly. To me, I as going to the committee, I think when you serve on a body like this, you have to be ready to change your mind. And you know, I heard a guy on the radio the other day, and I thought, boy, that really it really perfectly encapsulates my philosophy. And the first thing you should think when you start to consider something is, am I completely wrong?
Right.
You know, it's always very useful to me, you know, just to not assume anything. And I agree with Justin that we should be looking into this and exploring what we might be able to do. Unfortunately, I think we're laboring under a fatally flawed process right now. I think that, and you know, I've learned more about the process through the cities beginning to look into annexation of the service districts that are right next to the city. And the local boundary commission, which is the state body that that regulates has a certain set of criteria, and they have a sort of a playbook that they hand you. Here's your playbook. Follow this playbook, because in the end of the process, it's going to go back to the local boundary commission, and they're going to judge whether we did a good job or not. One of the first things that they say that you should do is to get a good idea of what the results would be of consolidation, and then do outreach to the citizens, explaining to them as well as you can what the results of consolidation would be, and then asking the question, given that, would you favor consolidation? Unfortunately, as you mentioned, the borough tried to hire someone to find out what would be the end result of mm-hmm. consolidation and failed. Then their outreach, I don't know exactly if there was any past just putting it on the ballot. And so they throw it on the ballot. What do you think about consolidation? And enough people voted in ignorance that they thought consolidation might be a good idea, that here they formed this our committee, the consolidation committee, full of nothing but great citizens, you know, who stepped forward to serve, except me. I was kind of forced on by the city. But unfortunately, I think this is a fatal flaw. We're going to go to the Boundary Commission with whatever our results are, and they're going to say to us, you didn't even do number one in the list, which was to find out what the likely results of consolidation would be, and then to do public outreach. And given that, we are being tasked with what the analysts might have done. And it's a borough staff, city staff, and our committee are going through. And what we're doing right now, our job in a nutshell, is we're filling out the form. That's how we're finding out what it's going to be the result.
What it's going to be the result, exactly.
We're just filling out the form that has to be filled out. It's going to take us quite a while, another year maybe, to go through that, just to sort of go through everything on the form and fill it in. And at the end of that, we were supposed to have learned what it would have done.
what it should look like, or what it could.
And then put it before the voters without having done any outreach at all. And so so far, we've never had more than two people show up at any of our meetings. And I mean, two was the high. Normally, it's zero. So far, there hasn't been really any interest at all in what we've been doing. And as far as what we've learned as we've dug into the one thing we've learned is that it's going to change everything.
Oh, for sure.
You'll be turning in your citizenship in the city for citizenship in a larger borough. One of the things that the Alaska State Constitution requires of local governments is that they provide maximum local governance. Now, to me, if we're talking about turning in our two governments for one big government, what we're having is less local governance. Maybe Justin and Jennifer on?
Oh, yeah. If I could, pause. I know you've got a lot of great things to say, Terry.
I always do.
We're also joined, and I'm really glad that she's able to call in Jennifer Culbertson, another member of the Consolidation Committee. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi. Great. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, absolutely. We've gone around the table, so I thought I'll bring you in to introduce yourself. Talk about why you joined and if your original position has changed at all going through this process.
My position hasn't changed, though I did do some research and I've listened to the other members on the Consolidation Board. You know, I'm open to suggestion and other people's opinion. And kind of like what Terry pointed out, I mean, there's a lot of information to sift through. And having gone through the budget for the city, it's a huge booklet, and kind of done some research on my own on other boroughs and cities that have consolidated, I've kind of firmed up my conclusion that consolidation would be an excellent idea for Kodiak. I see the opportunity to have actually better representation for people here. Not so much right now, just so you understand, the city council and the borough assembly are comprised of people that live in Service District 1 and the city. There's maybe one or two people on the borough assembly that live outside of Service District 1, but there is no representatives for the rural areas, any of the villages on the borough assembly. And, of course, that goes without saying for the city council. There's no representation for the people that live outside of town that don't have all the services. They don't have close proximity to the fire station. They don't have close proximity to school. Some of the villages have lost their schools. And one of the ideas that we are proposing on the consolidation board is to kind of revamp the what makes up the members of like what would be the borough assembly, to where there is representation from each different area.
Yeah, that's one of the big questions in the consolidation application is what would the makeup of the new governing body look like and how they would be elected. And So
I think it's a little disingenuous to say that we're all clueless here. I mean, honestly, we're not reinventing the wheel. There are six other areas, Juneau, off the top of my head, I should know this. I called all of them, actually, and I talked to the city clerks and the boroughs, and I kind of asked them, you know, Juneau specifically, you know, how do you feel, like, what was the before and after effect of consolidation? And they actually don't remember before. They're just like, after, great. So I didn't get a lot of negative feedback, you know, like, oh, my God, you know, we have a giant government now and we're, our taxes went way up. I just really didn't get that when I actually interviewed real people that were affected by consolidation.
Yeah, Juneau did it. Even Anchorage did it back in the 70s, maybe. More recently, Haines did it back in 2002 or 3, and then Petersburg. But also, you know, Ketchikan and Fairbanks tried and felt like they couldn't make it work. Justin, let me ask you, after looking at... I think we got some feedback and some plans from other municipalities that have tried this successfully and tried this unsuccessfully. What have you learned by looking at some of the other models out there, other attempts at consolidation?
I know there was another community that they were trying to consolidate, and they X'd it because it was going to lay people off. And that's one thing that we have to make sure that we let people know, hey, we don't want to lay anyone off. That's not what this whole thing is about. It's about, you know, getting rid of double government. You know, today I'm just looking online. There's two websites, you know, there's one for each human resources for the borough and the city. And so, you know, one thing we have to make sure that we let people know is that, you know, it's not going to be about laying people off. That's why I think, I can't remember which area didn't go through with it, because that was one of the problems. Some of the other things I've learned is that, you know, it does cut down on duplicate positions. You know, I think for the size that we are, we don't need, at least if we find out through the studies and whatnot, you know, we don't need two councils. You know, you don't need two managers for the size that we are, you know, versus other areas, you know, like Anchorage. You know, they consolidated and they're doing just fine, but we won't know that. That's why this committee here is to find that out, you know, see what's going to work and not work.
Terry, what about you? I know you've looked into this a lot, and I mean, I think even like right now, Eagle River is looking to separate itself from Anchorage, so there's like an opposite. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're looking at all sorts of models. What have you learned by looking at the various successes and failures of this kind of process?
The different municipalities are very different. One thing I would like to address is this idea that we're going to save money. That is one of the things that, of course, you would assume this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make things more efficient and save money. None of our studies, anything has shown that we are going to save money, because we still have the same amount of work to do. If you still want to provide similar services, you're going to have similar people providing those services. All the duplication that we have right now is that we have a city council and we have a borough assembly. You're not going to save a lot of money by combining them either, because you don't pay those people much money. They're basically getting a stipend. That's a pretty much a volunteer position. On the other hand, if you have one big assembly, you're going to have twice the work for these folks that are going to be tasked with being on this new, bigger assembly. If you're expecting to for them to do that twice the amount of work for the same stipend, I think that the only people who are going to be able to do that are folks who are politically minded that have something, they have their own pan on the fire. Either that, or you're going to have to pay them more. If you pay them more, then there goes the money that you're going to save. And the fact is, you're not saving much money anyway, because we're not paying those people a lot of money. As far as having two managers, I'd ask our managers if they think that they're underworked right now. Again, we have X amount of work to be done. What you're going to have is a manager and an assistant manager. You're going to have twice the finance department, twice as big a public work department. Everything is going to be twice as big and twice as ponderous, and you're going to have half the ability to represent. Another thing, to address what Jennifer was saying about changing representation, I agree that the borough assembly should have more representation from the rural districts, but there's a good reason that they don't. And that's because it's a heck of a long way from here to Occiok. And if you do indeed make it so that we're saying, all right, we're not going to go by population, which is the direction that the committee chose to do to go, then what you're having is you're going to have some people who are going to represent a lot of people from the city, and some people who aren't going to represent very many people at all from further out. They're all going to have the same political vote, though. And if we're going to go to non-representational democracy, then I think that's something that the citizens should know. Basically, what you're doing is you're trading in your citizen card for another one in which you may or may not be as well represented, because your representative may represent, you know, twice as many people as the other representative.
Can I interject there?
Oh, yeah, sure, because this is, this is a big conversation okay. that we've had in the committee, because I think, yeah. like what Terry said, there are a lot of legal things that we even have to consider, the Equal Voting Rights Act, all sorts of things
right.
that are going along with that. So, respond to the representation bit, and then I also want to get your perspective, because I know you've done a lot of research about the idea that really isn't going, if it does save money, it's not going to be a lot of money, and then so is it even worth it to follow through? But yeah, right. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, as far as representation goes, the villages aren't being represented, and the reason that I was told to me is because they live in Occiok or somewhere else. Well, hello, we have technology. I'm talking to you on a phone right now and being broadcasted on the radio. There's Zoom. I mean, it is very easy in this day and age to be in one place and talk to somebody somewhere else. I mean, there's a way to make that happen. We just have to have the impetus. We have to have the drive, you know, to change things. And I mean, that's part of what this consolidation committee is all about. I mean, people do see a need for change in this community. I mean, if you've looked at the comments on raising the mill rate and just the frustration people feel, and yes, people do need to get more involved, but I think they need to feel like they can do it in a productive way. Like it needs to feel inclusive. And Terry was right. We do need more residents at our consolidation board meetings. So we put them off for a month because apparently we can't do Zoom meetings. We have to wait until June to reconvene and do it through a Zoom meeting. I don't know. I just think that hiring a consulting firm to tell us whether we should consolidate or not, and spending $180,000 on that, which is what the city and the borough have done for other projects, is not as efficient as having the public involved. And it's painful, and it's going to be slow. And there will be opportunities for people to be part of these meetings and add, you know, their insight. And I think that is critical.
Yes, you brought up it's going to be painful and slow. And yes, this is painful and slow. We've got hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents to go through. For you, Jennifer, what has been the most difficult part of this process? Terry talked a little bit about some of the issues with the process. What are you finding is difficult about the process? And, you know, what exactly would you like to see from the public as we go through looking at all these things?
honestly, what I like to see is it open up again so that we can accept more members on the consolidation board. And I would like to see more members from the public and not government employees on the consolidation board. Not that the people that are on it, I mean, some are, we do have, you know, a mix of everybody. Another opportunity to get a few more board members so that if one of us has to miss a meeting, because like for me, I'm a business owner and we're ramping up in the summertime, we got, you know, a lot of people commercial fish here. It's difficult to attend all these meetings. So the opportunity for more people to be on the board, and then I think, you know, personally, I need to do a better job too of with through social media of getting drumming up the interest.
And what about you, Justin? Like I said, Justin's calling from San Diego. He was called up with his Naval Reserve unit, so he's been gallivanting around the country, and I feel a little bad asking Justin you some of these questions because you don't have all of your materials with you, but and you call in most of the time also because of work, but what would you like to see from the public and in this process?
Just more input, what they would like to see work, you know, smoother, what they see that works and doesn't work. You know, because they're the ones that are, you know, going to the borough and the city and using the services, you know, let us know, you know, hey, is it easy to call one number to get all your questions answered instead of, you know, a couple more? And I know it takes a lot of time, you know, coming down to these meetings. There's all kinds of meetings going on. It seems like Monday through Friday, there's meetings. So the more time you can put in, the more you can voice your concerns, your ideas, helps a lot. So the more community input we could get, that would be helpful.
The early on, the committee developed a set of three criteria to work through looking at what a possible or hypothetical new borough and what the borough's powers would be. And I think it was, I read a quote, it was John Whitten from, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, who said that this is not just like, you take two decks of cards and you shuffle them together, and then look, brand new. You have this brand new borough. You have to really sit through these things. And so, some of the criteria we set out was that that we would seek maximum government with minimum government units, streamline and equitable services, and effective representation. One thing I want to talk about, and I'll toss this over to Terry first, is we talked about the representation piece. How do you feel the other two pieces, the maximum government services with minimum government units and the streamlined equitable services, how have you seen this play out in your view?
Well, it's maximum local self-governance. So that makes a big difference to me. I think what we have right now is maximum local self-governance. We have the city and the borough, and I think it should be pointed out that Ketchikan had drivers. One of them was that their hospital was located in the city and the city paid for the hospital. But the hospital was an area-wide service. Here in Kodiak, I have to tip my hat to our former people who served, because they did a good job of parking all of the area-wide services in the borough where everyone pays for them and putting everything else in the city, the stuff that's infrastructure. And the city is driven by sales tax. It's a great little self-governor. If the city doesn't bring in sales tax, the budget has to go down because the money's not going to be there. There really is no choice. And the city pays for sales. What the city pays for the sales tax is stuff that you need right now. I need to fix my dock. I need to fix the road. I need to provide services right now. The borough, on the other hand, has long-term debt generally for area-wide things that everyone uses. This is a great system. If you mix the two, what you're going to do is have one big giant general fund in which you're going to be paying for everything that the city pays for and everything the borough pays for. In other words, property tax payers could be on the hook for fixing the docks and the harbors. Likewise, sales tax payers may be on the hook for making up the gap for school bond debt reimbursement, for instance. If we keep them in their spot where they are right now, I think it's a lot easier to keep track, and we're going to have a lot less of this. Who knows what your taxes are going to pay for in the end? And, you know, for another thing, if we're going to talk about not laying people off, and I do think that that's a, you know, if you want to lay people off to cut your budget, that's something that always is going to be confronting municipal governments. But again, where are we saving money? If we're not laying people off, and we already don't pay a heck of a lot of money for our assembly and city council members, where's the money going to be saved?
That is a big question. Jennifer, what do you think in response to the this idea of our criteria, the maximum local self-government, streamlined and equitable services? How do you see that playing out so far?
So far, I see that we all bear the burden of a raise in a sales tax, and we all bear the burden of the raise in a property tax. I mean, people in the city also pay a property tax. The borough extracts that from city residents or from the city budget. And so one way or the other, if the economy tanks, both the city and the borough suffer the consequences, because there are less people are less able to pay the sales tax, they're buying less, or they're selling their houses and getting out of here, and there's less homeowners. So in all reality, you have two governments that are doing, I mean, we could have one government do this a lot in a lot more streamlined fashion. The cost of living here is going to remain the same, but we might have a little more control as to where the money goes, I think, than having two separate governments with separate agendas. I don't see how it's efficient to have two separate fire departments that are like 4 miles apart from each other with two separate fire chiefs, or a city mayor and a borough mayor, and then two different managers. I mean, the accumulated salary just from the managers and the fire chief is about $500,000. I mean, you could cut that, and also the benefits packages. I don't see that communication and representation is very streamlined right now. I just don't. And again, we'll go back to Ketchikan. The reason why, and I talked to the city clerk, who is actually a borough resident, the reason why they voted against consolidation is the people that lived in the borough of Ketchikan pay a 5% mill rate. So they don't pay very high property taxes. And if they consolidated, they would actually be paying a higher mill rate. So of course they didn't want to pay a higher mill rate, so they didn't consolidate.
Well, we have about 90 seconds left or so. So, I'll toss it over to Justin. Justin, do you have any final thoughts, advantages, disadvantages to the process? What are you looking forward to?
I'm just looking forward, and I couldn't hear what Jennifer had to say on my end. Unfortunately, I heard her talk about the fire department or a few things like that, but unfortunately, I couldn't hear what she was saying, so can't comment anything on what she said. But, you know, I think we just need to keep going through everything, looking where, you know, we can make the process easier, keep the community involved, keep an open mind about this. You know, like I said before, you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, maybe we can make some things work easier for the public, and maybe some things we can't. Like one thing is, you know, I'm in the borough, but I still pay taxes, you know, at Safeway. You know, do I see all the where those tax dollars go? Not always. You know, like police, I'm closer to City of Kodiak Police, and you know, I call for a police officer, then I get transferred to, you know, the troopers. You know, it would be nice if we can spread those resources out to allow them to respond better for the citizens and whatnot. But we just need to keep an open minded.
Okay, and really quick, Terry, what did you got?
Well, we are playing a card game here. It's 52 card pickup. Somehow we're assuming that we're going to throw all the cards up in the air, and when we bring them back together, they're going to be better. But they're going to be the same cards. What the borough needs to do is throw this whole process in reverse after real outreach and have vote again with an informed electorate.
And Jennifer, guess what? You get the last word.
Oh, yes. We do have a fairly informed public. I don't think people are entirely clueless about our local governments and the resources that, you know, we use. But I do think we need to do a better job about talking about consolidation. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio today.
All right, and thank you all to my guests, and I will see you guys in a week.
All right, thank you, Jared.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye.